We continue this morning in the book of Revelation. And what a great sermon Stephen started us off on. He's raised the bar so high for all of us to try to catch up. So let me carry on from where Stephen left off last week. He took us through the first eight verses of chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. So if you've got your Bible around, pick it up, or it's on your phone. And we're going to go through from verse 9 through to 20. So, I don't know if you've heard this old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. A picture is worth a thousand words. Actually, this passage is talking about a vision that John had. The vision. Now, I don't know how many of you have had a vision. Some people interpret that as a dream. There are two different things. A dream and a vision are two different things. A dream is something you get when you sleep at night and you get something. That's a dream. But a vision is something that you can get at any time, whether you're awake or asleep. God can give you a fresh vision. And it's time for us to have a vision, just as John the Apostle had this vision. Do you know, our passage this morning reveals the answers to our questions. And many of us may have questions. Not many of us have read through the book of Revelation. There are some of us pastors who have never read through the book of Revelation. There are some who don't want to touch certain passages because of the way it has been interpreted over the years. But when this passage was written by John to the churches, it was written for a specific purpose. And that is why John had the vision. He just didn't dream this up. It was something that God gave him. And our passage will help us to answer the questions about the future. Some of these questions never understood until we hear it from Jesus. That's the key. When we hear the words of the Lord coming from him, then a lot of things make sense. Roughly looking at this passage, verse 9 talks about the authenticity of this vision. Secondly, the access and action outlined. Verses 10 to 12 is the access and the actions outlined. I'm giving you this rough outline right now. The third thing is the commencement of the revelation as the Lord revealed it to John. Fourthly, the outstanding radiance of this vision, verses 14 to 16. And then the reaction to the vision in verses 17 to 18, John's reaction. And then verses 19 to 20, the direction of the revelation. So we're going to go through this and look at it in that context. But as we go through, I want you to, by the way, there's some notes that you can access, and they are there for you. Let's look at the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a wonderful book. It reveals so many things. I apologize for that, but I needed a little tickle. Go down there. The book of Revelation reveals the glorious, exalted Jesus Christ. If you read the scriptures, the book of Revelation in particular, the vision that John had, you read it from chapter 1 to chapter 22. As you go through that and you look at it in the light of Jesus, the exalted one, you get a different perspective on all the theories and all the things that everyone wants to put on there. Secondly, it exposes the Antichrist. Very clear if you read through the book of Revelation. Then it confirms God's judgment on sinful people. Then it shows us, the book of Revelation shows us, catastrophe on the earth. Now, I've been asked this question recently by so many people. Are we in the catastrophe? Are we just before the catastrophe? Are we coming out of the catastrophe? I said, no. Just keep your eye on Jesus. That's the main thing. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, it doesn't matter when the catastrophe comes, But the book of Revelation explains a lot of that catastrophe on this earth. Remember this, the book of Revelation was given to us. The book of Revelation was given to us. Jaden? Yep. The book of Revelation was given to us, and it reveals the mystery of Babylon in vivid detail. We read that. But when this was given to us, you know, John, a lot of the things that God, that Jesus revealed to him, some of those things have happened. And we are going into the next thing. If we grasp everything else but miss Jesus in this revelation, we have missed it. It's so important for us not to miss Jesus right through the book of Revelation. We have missed the message of the book of Revelation if we only look at all these other things in Revelation and forget that it's Jesus who gave us this revelation. Don't we ever need a fresh revelation of Jesus today? I'm sure you'd agree with me. So let's go through this. The great, they called him the Prince of Speakers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher. He said these words, listen to it. The great fault of many professors is that Christ is to them a character written on a page. Certainly more than a myth, but yet a person of the dim past to them. That's the professors. And an historical person who lived many years ago and did most admirable things, deeds, by which we are saved, but who is far from being a living, present, bright reality. That's the key. They look at Jesus as someone who's past history, historical figure, but they forget that he's the living, present, bright reality. I think Charles Spurgeon had that right. Let's look at this vision now, the vision of the exalted Christ, referred to in this passage as the Son of Man, standing among the lampstands in verses 9 through 20. Let's go to the seven features of Jesus mentioned in this vision. First, John is using similar language as Daniel did. Now, a lot of this, if you don't know your Old Testament, if you've never read the Old Testament, if you never read through those passages, you wouldn't understand what the Lord is telling John here. But Daniel uses apocalyptic language. He uses apocalyptic language, and that is, he's using this. Listen to what Daniel says in chapter 10, verses 5 onwards. He says, "I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide." You read that in Daniel 10, verses 5 to 7. Here, it displays again the power of the glorified Jesus Christ. That's what Daniel saw. He saw the glorified presence of Christ, not the pre-incarnate Christ, not the Christ of this, who lived on this earth, but the glorified Christ who is coming again. I thought I'd put that in there. He is coming back again. The seven features of Jesus Christ are these. Number one, in this passage, verse 14 talks about his head and his hair. We'll read that in a moment. It talks about purity. And then his eyes in verse 14, probing eyes, looks deep into our soul. His feet, verse 15, walks in the like polished bronze. Wow, purity. walks in paths of righteousness, holiness, his feet of holiness. Blessed are the feet who bring the good news. His voice, verse 15, powerful. No other voice like his. Verse 16, strong. Strong right hand. His right hand was strong and powerful. In this verse, he's holding the seven stars. Could you picture that? How big is a star? Can anyone tell me?
Huge.
Someone says huge here. I'm sure you said huge too. But think of that powerful right hand holding seven stars. I can't imagine it, but I'll see it one day. But John saw it. His mouth, penetrating words. This word. You know, many people don't like this word this day. I want to hold it up high today. This word will stand the test of time. It has, it is, and it will. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I gave you the reference on the screen. But listen to it. The word of God is alive, is powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between point and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Have you ever come across a time when you opened the scriptures and you read and you felt the Lord putting that two-edged sword in between and pulling out all that is not right in our lives? Yep. If you read the scripture and listen to his voice through his mouth, anything that comes out of his mouth is like a two-edged sword. It is true and it penetrates into our hearts. And his face, verse 16, brilliant face, the brilliance of his face. No other face like his face. You know, when Moses went up the temple and met with God, when he came back, what happened? People couldn't look at his face. You know when you can tell someone who's had a good time with God? Look at their face. That's why I couldn't leave that mask on there. You need to see my face. I hope it's brilliant today. Otherwise, pray for me. No other face like the face of Jesus. When I look into your holiness, when I look into your face, Lord, everything else pales into significance. You know, when we're going through what we're going through today, when you feel like complaining, when you feel like grumbling, look up. Look at his face and see the brilliance of his face. It's amazing. Okay, what did John the Apostle hear? Let's listen to what he heard in verses 9 to 11. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I'll come back to that. I wanted to say something. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for two things, preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, write in a book everything you see, and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Look at that passage a minute. John writing this now under the instructions that the Lord gave him to write what he saw. He says, I am your brother. By the way, I was very happy to find it when I came to this church last year. There were some people who called me brother. I thought, fantastic. Hello, brother. Good morning, brother. I like that. But we need to acknowledge it that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And John says, I am your brother. Not only your brother, but listen to this part for all those who are suffering right now in whatever way, those who are complaining. He says, I am your partner in suffering. So John knows what we're going through right now. And the Lord knew that when he asked John to write that. He said, I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom. Remember that. Never forget that. We're still part of God's kingdom, no matter what happens around us. And in the patient endurance. That's what I wanted to pick up. What endurance? Patient endurance. How do you define endurance? Long suffering, a fruit of the Spirit for us today. Long suffering. I looked up the dictionary and wanted to find out what long suffering meant. It said suffering long. So don't give up, folks. Don't give up. Join John here. And he says, in patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. He doesn't call us to everything rosy and wonderful. Thank God for those times that we have. But he calls us to suffering for his name's sake. Jesus calls us to this patient endurance. I was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for two reasons. For preaching the word of God and for his testimony about Jesus. That is the key for all of us today and all those listening to me. There's only two things. We should be exiled or punished or whatever for preaching the word of God. And I'll never give up preaching the word of God and what it says. And for all of us, that includes me too, for our testimony about Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the glorified one. It was on the Lord's day, John says, that I was worshiping in the Spirit. You know, when we come together again, when is that going to be? I hope it'll be soon. I'd love to meet you all again. But, and I'm sure you want to meet us too. But when we come together, let's remember whenever we come together on a Sunday, let's not come together just to go through the motions. Be like John. He says, I was worshiping in the Spirit. And Jesus expects worship in spirit and truth, not mechanical. And we've got to learn that when we worship God. I was worshiping God this morning. I didn't realize I was in the way of the camera. I suddenly got a tap on my shoulder. I was enjoying my worship. You know me. I love to worship God. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice. And I'm glad it wasn't the loud trumpet that blasted me this morning. But look at this. I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. I don't have a trumpet this morning to blast that. But you know what I thought about? When Jesus comes again, it's going to be the trumpet blast. Read it in 1 Thessalonians. There will be a shout, a blast of a trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. And those who are alive and waiting and looking for him will be caught up together with them in the air. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that day. What about you? And then the Lord says here, he said, write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches. I'll come back to that later on at the end. John on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, suffering, going through difficulties. And he has this tremendous revelation. He hears this wonderful voice. John, our brother and our partner in suffering and in God's kingdom. And in patient endurance to which God has called all of us, including us, you and me. And we're not exiled this morning. In a sense, we are. We're exiled today. In a sense, we are. We are exiled not for our preaching and not for our testimony. But let's keep up our witness to the Lord Jesus. Let's go on to verses 12 to 16. In these verses, we notice that when I turned to see who was speaking to me. Look at this one. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing, didn't I read this in Daniel a few minutes ago? He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. Remember the song you learned in Sunday school? Whiter than the snow? No? We'll have to ask Sean to teach us that one. And his eyes, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. Have you ever tried looking at the sun in all its brilliance? I could never look at the sun. But the same thing is true when we see him. We won't be able to look at him. We'll fall prostrate before him. Here's the revelation. Jesus revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos as the glorified King. He's no longer the Jesus who suffered on the cross. He's no longer the Jesus who rose again from the grave. He's no longer the Jesus who ascended to heaven. He is the Jesus who is seated at the right hand of our Father, God in heaven. And he's waiting for his Father to say, "Go, son, and bring my church." What a wonderful day that'll be. Jesus was revealed to John the Baptist. My prayer this morning is that God will give you and me a fresh revelation of the glorified Jesus seated in heaven next to his Father. What did the Apostle John feel? In verses 17 to 20, we read these words. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead." And I think that's what happened. You know, sometimes when I preach, I say, when I see Jesus, I want you all to go and meet John and Moses and Abraham and all the others. Take time with them. Give me the first 1,000 years with Jesus. But I have a feeling, after reading what happened to John, that when I try to see Jesus, I'll have to fall prostrate before him, flat on my face, because that's what it'll be like when I see him. I'll be lost for words, because no one can describe what Jesus looks like. John has tried to do that for us. I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid." My friends, I want you to hear those words today. You know, the scripture is given for us. Go back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look at what verse 3 says. "God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listens to its message and obeys what it says, for the time is near." I want to remind you, keep that verse constantly as the key verse as we listen to these studies in Revelation, as we listen to Pastor Rod next week and all the others who are listed on. But you know, when we listen to that, come back to verse 3 again. The Lord blesses us, and this is what he's saying here. Don't be afraid. I want you to hear those words from the Master today to any of you who are afraid. Are you afraid? I tell you something. With Jesus, you don't need to be. When I say this to people, I'm not afraid. I really am not. Because Jesus is in control. If he wants to call me, I'm ready. I want to go and see him. Fall prostrate before him. But John says what Jesus said to him. "I am the first and the last." There's no one else in between. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and I'll be there with you through it. I am the living one." We don't worship a dead God. We are worshiping a living God. In all my studies over the years of studying various religions, I only discovered that there's one person who died for the sins of the world, who rose again and ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father and is coming back again. The only one person I've discovered. His name is Jesus. And that's why I'm not afraid. Jesus says to John, "I died, but look, I am alive." I want you to remember that John never saw Jesus after he ascended to heaven. He only saw Jesus as he was on this earth. But he didn't have a picture of the glorified Jesus. You know, you and I are going to be shocked when we see Jesus. I think so. We're going to see a glorified Jesus like no one has ever seen. This is what John saw, and that's why he's writing it for us. And Jesus himself is saying, I am the living one. Anyone want to know if Jesus is alive? Is he a myth or is he a figure of the history? Oh, no. Jesus himself said, I am the living one. John saw him. I died. But look, I am alive forever and ever. Everlasting. How long is forever and ever? Forever and ever. And he says, I hold the keys of death and the grave. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of the grave. Jesus holds the keys to the death and grave. You know, we can't live on this earth forever, can we? Maybe to 120, right, Sean? Maybe. I'd love to keep on preaching till I'm 120. But ultimately, he holds that key for me and for you and for all of us. And this is what he said. He said, write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. So remember, John was writing, he wanted John to write what was happening then and what is about to happen. So since John wrote that, a lot more has happened and there's still more to come. We'll unpack some of that as we preach through Revelation. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand. This is the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The explanation is given to us there. Sadly, those seven lampstands are no longer there. Disappointing. My prayer is that this lampstand in Beaconsfield will not be taken out, but will continue lasting on from generation to generation till Jesus comes again. What did the Apostle John feel when he saw Jesus? His response to this vision is in the first part of verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. My prayer is, Lord, give us a fresh revelation today. And then the Lord commissions him in verses 17 to 20. He says, I want you to write. I want you to write this. Verse 19, write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. And John wrote faithfully. That's why we've got it before us. The church is suffering today, my friends. I want to come to the conclusion. You know, when you go to a shop, it's all takeaway now, so I've got three takeaways for you today. You ready for it? Number one, we as a church are suffering, but we must embrace this fact. The moment we stop embracing this fact that we are called to suffer for Jesus' sake, it'll become easier, I tell you. Let's not be like the rest of the world. As God's people, he's called us to come out and be separate. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be lights that will shine his light, his brilliance through us. The first takeaway, but Jesus is still the Lord of his church. Let's remember that. Jesus is still the Lord of his church. Only if we will make him the head or the Lord of the church. Only if we do. He doesn't force himself to be the Lord of the church, but he still is. Secondly, we too are called to suffer. But Jesus will still hold us close. He will sustain us. He will protect us, his people, by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He said, I'll go, but I'll send you the Holy Spirit. He will hold you. He will keep you. He will guide you. He will teach you. Jesus has promised that when we are suffering. Thirdly, it's up to us now. We need to re-examine our view of Jesus. What kind of a Jesus do you worship today? What's your picture of Jesus to you? How close are you to Jesus? He's close to you, but how close are you? What's your view? Let me close with these three points. He is our majestic, soon coming King. He is our almighty conqueror who holds the keys of death and hell. And every knee will bow before him one day. You know, we have this movement going where everyone's bowing their knee today. They're not bowing it to the Almighty. They're not bowing it to Jesus. But one day will come when every knee will bow. I was thrilled to see two people. Twice I saw it in the news. Two people who'd refused to kneel before anything else but Jesus. And I'm going to stand. I'm one of those who will stand for Jesus, and I'll only bow my knee to him. Because Jesus loves all lives. Everyone matters to him. He died for the whole world, you and me. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this revelation from John to us. There's so much in there. I wish we can spend another hour talking about it. But Lord, we know that you want to give us a fresh revelation of yourself today. In the midst of the pandemic, that we can trust you and be confident in you and know who you are and what you mean to us today. Give us all a fresh vision of Jesus, the glorified Jesus. We ask in your holy name. Amen.